You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You know the best fans in the NFL, which is you, fans of the Browns. You need your gear. Shop the best selection of apparel and merchandise. Or merchandise, but merchandise. Shop for that. At Cleveland Browns Team Shop with new arrivals each week. Visit the store at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week. Or go to shop.clevelandbrowns.com. We take you on a pretty regular basis, and we're going to do it through this whole bye week here inside the locker room. Our own Jameer Howerton from clevelandbrowns.com does that today, sitting down with tight end Jordan Cameron.
Jordan, you look at the mood in and around the locker room out on the practice field today. Guys seem to be upbeat, and there's just a lot of energy going on.
Yeah, you know, it's a win, you know, like the one we had on Sunday's huge, big division game against a great opponent, and the guys are feeling it. We just need to keep this rolling and really prepare for Cincinnati because they're another great, tough challenge. So can't be too happy about this. You got to move on. It's a short, you know, short memory kind of thing. You got to prepare for this this game next week, and it's good to get this rest, though. Rest our bodies, rest our minds. So, like you said, there's some positive vibes out there, and everyone was kind of feeling it.
As an offensive unit, what do you guys want to get accomplished this week?
Just get a head start on Cincinnati. You know, just look at some of the things, see, get some looks out there, and just really get the ball rolling on the game plan for them.
And when you look at the first half of the season, how do you evaluate this offense?
I think we've progressed week to week, and it's definitely, you know, we had some peaks and valleys. There were some high points, some low points, but we've done a good job of sticking together and learning from each game, and that's the whole goal, is just to get better each week, and I think we've done a good job of that.
When you drill down and you look at those previous games, the wins and the losses, what is that one thing that you can pick out and say, hey, we can take this as we move forward into the second half of the season?
I think it's our ability to just the resiliency in our team. You know, things go bad, but we don't really give up ever. We don't really let it get to us, and we continue to fight, and we just got to keep fighting, and that's the thing. We just keep pushing and trusting where these coaches are leading us. It'll pay off, and I think it's starting to pay off now.
You mentioned getting ready for Cincinnati, and I know you guys are going to get your rest, but how important is it to get the rest, but at the same time stay focused, because when you guys come back off that bye, you're going to have two divisional games back-to-back staring right at you?
Yeah, that's tough. It's just, and we know that this division is a tough division, and every week's a challenge, so we just got to really can't be too, you know, you can't get too much of a mental break and be too out of it, you know. So it's just one of those things. Just be away from football. It's good. We need that, but also, you know, stay in a little mentally and, you know, watch film here and there and to, just to get a head start on them, because we need all we can to get preparation-wise for them.
And Jordan, with your time away from football, what are some of your special plans?
I'll just be in L.A. with my son, hanging out, going to the beach. Can't really complain. I'll be in California, so it'll be a nice little getaway.
Enjoy your time, Jordan. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Back to you, Vic.
All right, thank you very much.
You know what I like? That he's going back yeah. to Cali. Going to hang out with his son Tristan. That's where the touchdown celebration with the T comes from. I like that. I love Jordan Cameron. I like his attitude. Everything about him. I think he's a great player and seems like a great teammate and a good guy. And he's always been very, very nice to me when I've had the opportunity to speak with him. So I like that he's going to go back to Cali and
he
hang
really
out with his son.
He doesn't like you that much.
No, not at all. That's
he
all right.
He thinks you're great.
That's all right.
But he, no, the kid comports himself well. And it's nice to see how how this has developed. Now, what'll be a challenge, what will be very interesting when they come back from the bye, I want to see how he responds. I want to see him against Cincinnati. He had a good game, a really good game against them when they previously met here in at First Energy. Now to go to Cincinnati, let's see what level Jordan Cameron is able to take that. Now that he's challenged with the idea that teams are bracketing him and doing all kinds of different coverage combinations to keep the ball out of his hands. Same thing with Josh Gordon, but the fact of the matter is, yes, it allows other people to make plays, but it can't just be that those guys get shut down and you've got to watch other people make plays. When people are challenging you to not catch a pass, you got to catch passes. The guy who was just in here, they called him the playmaker because how many teams figured out, like, in an instant, you got to keep that guy under
wraps?
He's pretty
good.
And under wraps, he busted through the wrapping.
That is, in my opinion, one of the big challenges, one of the exciting things to watch over the last seven games, how Jordan Cameron goes from a guy that we all knew was going to be very productive and was, and the league's trying to catch up to him, see how he takes his game to the next level. And I like that he, you know, we talked a little bit about all the preparation that's going to go in for a huge game against Cincinnati while also taking a little bit of time to be with his son. So that is good stuff there as far as I'm concerned on the Jordan Cameron front. Let's hear from you now, Kenny in Toledo. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily Driven by Liberty Ford.
Yeah. Hey, great show like always, guys.
Thank you.
I guess I want to go a little past and future with you guys. I know you talked a few weeks ago, seven wins for the season. Nathan pushed the maybe the eight-win issue a little bit.
That's right.
You know, in, back when Mr. Howard Haslam come in and with Joe Banner, and what was the record, 5-11 last year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and, you, and when they pulled up this front office, I think it's a great front office. When you pull in Joe Banner and Lombardi, Farmer, you come from Kansas City, right?
Yes, he did.
And look at what he, look at the personnel there. That was pretty much there when he left the season. And, you know, Turner and Horton, you know, when I looked at season 5-11, you got to believe, I thought, seven wins at least, probably an eight-win season would be great for this. For them to come in with this great front office, I guess my what I'd like to know: what can you go in the past? What was your guys' expectations at the beginning of the year, compared and now at the bye week? Is it still seven or?
Well, you know? Okay. Thank you, and we appreciate the call. I will tell you the fact. The fact is that Nathan and I, before this, the Friday before the season began, the Friday before the Miami game, were putting together a scenario that had this as pretty much a 500 team as we went through the schedule, and that included a win that they didn't get in the opener against Miami. We had that as a win. We put that one as a win dog. So
that's a win dog.
We went down the list, and
we did not have them beating the Bengals though.
We did not have them beating the Bengals. So you know there are a lot of things that didn't shake out to a record that we were constructing that would get them close to. I think we got to seven, maybe not a definitive eight. But here's the point. I think everything we said before the season began blew up the moment that this thing became a 1-2 and then 3 starting quarterback first half of the season. And you heard Michael Irvin say it multiple times in his conversation with us. You just don't win four games with three. You might not win two games with that many quarterback changes. The quarterback issue for this team, the way it unfolded, is a formula for disaster normally. It hasn't been. It's been a formula for improvement here, but I still say that that's remarkable. I want to give credit where it's due to the people who made the decision to bring those two guys in Hoyer and Campbell, but I can't sit here with a straight face and say it's unfolding the way I thought it would. Had I known before the season that part of the condition of figuring out the record of this team would be, and by the way, they'll have three different starting quarterbacks in the first half of the year. You tell me, Nathan, if you and I could have seen them getting anything close to 500. No way.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not, but this is the way that it has unfolded, and there you have a position coming off of this bye to do something phenomenal, because after that Bengals game in Week 11, you get the Steelers and the Jags at home. Those are two extremely winnable games. So the Cleveland Browns, as I see it, in a worst-case scenario, will be 500 after Week 13. They will be 6-6 after Week 13 in a worst-case scenario. In a best-case scenario where they beat the Bengals and take care of business against the Steelers and the Jags, this is a team that could be 7-5 at that point.
Yeah, I can see the 6-6 possibility now, but that presumes a lot. That presumes that Jason Campbell keeps going. Now, he got AFC Player of the Week, by the way.
Yes, congratulations.
Congrats to him, and I'm
kudos.
Sorry it took this long into the show to mention that.
We'll blame the playmaker.
Three-touchdown performance, what a great national honor
for
Jason Campbell. But that said, the guy... Can he sustain that? And that was a question that you heard John Clayton raise, and I've heard from other people saying, is this guy truly a starter, a sustainable starter? I believe he is. I believe there's enough evidence in how he's going about it and the way this offense is structured to see that happen. But I'll tell you what, if it does happen, it's not going to be a shrug. It's not going to be people say, well, that's exactly what you expect from Jason Campbell, because none of us expected that from Jason, would have expected that from Jason Campbell. We didn't see that as a winning formula for the team. So Why didn't we see it? And part of it could be we're just stupid and wrong. I don't think it's that. I don't think that's the case. I think we had reason to question it, kind of the history of his career and so forth. I think solid, dependable, but he was more than that, obviously, against the Ravens. He'll have to be more than that on a consistent basis to get to those numbers. We're talking about a couple of more wins, maybe two or three more wins in this discussion. But I do see those. He'll be a big part of that. He won't be the only part of it. The defense also rises
right
to the occasion.
Right. And I feel pretty good about the fact that Jason Campbell got the AFC Player of the Offensive Player of the Week award when Tom Brady threw for what did he throw for 450
yeah,
yards
7 million
and
four, yards, I know.
And four touchdowns.
And they gave it to but you know his story was Tom
More
Brady
important.
Do it with the sore ribs and it was a bigger story ending an 11 game a lot of those things 11 game losing streak to the Ravens
absolutely.
A 3-game losing streak. That's why this team is getting a lot of national love. Richard in North Ridgeville joins us now. Oh, Richard is gone. I'm sorry. You said that's right. They're all gone. Everybody's gone, and I saw your updated text on that, and I'm talking to imaginary callers. Wow. Any tweets, young man, that you want to share with us,
yeah.
Dave, being Italian?
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to mention this earlier, but this was the tweet of the days thus far from at Cleve Brand, Brandon Bennett. Unbelievable interview with Michael Irvin on Browns Daily. Just put it on repeat and call it a day, boys.
we could have done that very easily, but then again, I'm glad we got John Clayton on too to get his perspective. But we appreciate that, and we appreciate what Michael did by joining us and opening up as much as he did. He got into some places that I'd not heard before. He shared that Charles Haley story in relation to the whole story of the day of the week. Involving the Miami Dolphins, Richie Incognito, and Jonathan Martin, that whole thing that will continue to play itself out and where it goes, who knows. But, yeah, I think there are so many messages in there that you could take away, not only as a fan of the Browns, but as a fan of the NFL.
Also, guys, from James Johnson, at Johnson Nation 5, he was not a big fan of the John Clayton interview, John saying that he does not believe the Browns can win the AFC North. James says, Mr. Clayton equals no clue. Got news for you, buddy. Browns will win the division. Funny that Clayton doesn't think the Browns will compete. They beat the Bengals and Ravens, and Pittsburgh sucks.
I like the confidence.
Yes.
I like all of that, you know. The good thing about this is it doesn't matter what John Clayton says. If the Browns go out there and beat the Bengals in week number 11 in Cincinnati, then that doesn't matter, and no opinions matter. The Browns have an opportunity in some ways to have a big piece of control over their destiny this year. So hopefully he can come out there. They can come out off of this bye week with the extra time to prepare for a division opponent that they know well and take care of business against the Cincinnati Bengals in week 11. And then everybody's going to be changing their tune, and it is going to be a wide-open race for this AFC North. But you have to start with the win at Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm not surprised Browns fans and others will take umbrage to John's comments. I don't agree with him either, actually.
I don't think they're going to run away.
That Cincinnati runs away with
that's what he said, and that's what he said.
Yeah, he expects them to. I saw a very vulnerable team not before that Miami game, and they were really vulnerable then. And the streakiness of Andy Dalton
right. Is
the whole story of the rest of their season.
Right.
What Dalton do you get? They don't know. The Bengals don't know. Is he the three-interception guy or the guy that got AFC Player of the Month, Offensive Player of the Month, and nobody knows that. So I think that's as wide open as can be.
And the loss of Geno Atkins was massive for their defense. Their defense had been able to make teams one-dimensional, force them to throw the ball. Not only have they lost Geno Atkins, their best interior lineman and maybe the best defensive tackle in the NFL who can do it against the run, and by the way, led their team in sacks before his injury, they've also lost Leon Hall, their top cover corner. This is a team that has lost critical pieces on the defensive side of the ball and ultimately still depends on Andy Dalton, who has not yet proven to be dependable in big game situations.
I hope, this is my hope. I'm not asking for, I try to be modest in my requests here. I hope we're talking just meaningful, gritty, down to the wire type of unfolding of the rest of the schedule involving the Browns. That every game has that, because it does.
I believe we will.
Every game has playoff implication to it. These might as well, basically the Browns are going to play seven playoff games. That's what's in store for this team the rest of the way. Seven playoff games.
Yeah, exactly right.
I mean, I hope so. I hope that the final three or the final whatever don't become meaningless because of circumstances before that, and we'll have to see it all play out. We know who we're going to root for on Sunday. We are rooting for the Buffalo Bills big time to beat the Steelers. Just put an end to them if they aren't already done. But make sure, keep putting a fork in them, and that's what Buffalo could do to help out. And you got to root for the Ravens, too. You got to root for the Ravens to beat the Bengals. I mean, that actually has to happen to be from a mathematical standpoint. I believe that'll be very helpful to the Browns, too. You want to root for neither, but you got to be a Ravens fan on Sunday for the Browns' sake. All right, we've got more coming up. And, again, your calls at 216-578-0850 if you want to join us. But we are going to have a conversation with another playmaker. We call him our playmaker. He is Gerard Cherry joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I got my-